If you're here tonight saved by the grace of God, you're a work of God. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. His works are just absolutely full of wonder. The creation, get up in the morning, and you're so thankful that He's gave you another day, able to get a good night's sleep and get up and face another day. But all salvations of the Lord. And then He went on to say this, and that God has thoughts to usward. Now we know that God don't think. But it tells us here that He has thoughts toward us. When did He start thinking about us? Well, before He ever created the heavens and the earth. That's what He did. He said, in the beginning, Christ the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God had His thoughts and His heart toward us in Christ before He ever created this world and put anything in it. And then He goes on to say this, and how are you going to reckon them up in order? Where are you going to start with what God's done for you? Where are you going to start? Where are you going to start with what God's done for you in this world? Where are you going to start? All the things that God's done for us, where are you going to start? Huh? You reckon them up, and you know it. Where do you reckon up how all, you know, go back over your life. From the time that you had sense enough to know anything, and how God, what He did for you and watched over you and kept you and then brought you to here tonight. Oh, how do you reckon up what God done for you? And now, listen, He goes on to say, if I would declare and speak of them, if I was to get up and tell somebody what they are, they're more than can be numbered. I'd run out of time. Run out of time. Run out of time. But here, we see a soul experience a sinner being saved by the grace of God. We see a soul passing from death to life. We see a soul coming out of darkness into light. And all to the full joy of salvation. First thing I want us to look at, and I know you've seen this before, and in verse 2, He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Now, a horrible pit is a bad, bad place to be. It's a horrible, horrible condition. And sin is a horrible pit that we can't get ourselves out of. And one of the things that you find in the Scriptures, you remember when they took Joseph, instead of killing him, they put him in a pit. They put him in a pit, and then they saw some folks come by, and they got him out of the pit and sold him. And I tell you what, and that's the same thing that happened with Jeremiah. You keep Psalm 40. Look in Jeremiah chapter 38. Look what happened to Jeremiah over here in chapter 38. You know, and when he says out of the miry clay, now Larry knows this, and anybody's ever been on a farm very much, when you go out and get it, and it starts raining like this, and it gets muddy, and you run over it and run over it, and cows walking through it. Next thing you know, you'll get in that with your boots, and you leave your boots in the mud. So you're trying to get your boot back out of the mud, and that's what he's talking about. It's so miry, so sticky, that you can't get your feet out of it. You can't get your feet up out of it. And I've had that happen to me times, and I know other people has too. But now look what happens to Jeremiah here, talking about a horrible, horrible condition. That's what we are. Sin is a horrible pit. Look what it said here in verse 6, Jeremiah 38. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hemalech. That's the son of the king that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water, listen to this, but mire. And listen to what it says next. And Jeremiah sunk in the mire. They put him down in there deep enough that they had to let him down in there. And when he got down there, his feet sunk up. He was in that mire, and it's way up on his legs. And he has to stand there. He has to stand there. Now look what else happens here in verse 10. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, say, take from thence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. It's going to take 30, he's in there so deep, so far down in there, it's going to take 30 men to get him out. 30 men, 15 on each side, pull him up out of that dungeon. And look what it says now. And so Abimelech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury. And look what they got. They got some old cast clouts and old rotten rags and let them down by cords into the dungeon unto Jeremiah. And Abimelech, the Ethiopian, said unto Jeremiah, Put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under your armholes, thine armholes under the cords. And so Jeremiah did. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him up out of the dungeon. 15 men, that's what they put these things, you know, got a bunch of old rotten rags and stuck them on some rope, stick them down in there, say, stick your arm under there. And they took 15 men on this side and 15 men on that side to pull him up. That's how far down in there that mire it was. Took 15 men on each side to bring him up out of that mire. Now that's the condition we're in outside of Christ. But we ain't got, the only king that can get us out of the mire is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And you can't pick your feet up out of it. You can't pick your feet up out of sin. You can't pick your feet up out of the place and when you're in that dungeon. And only God can be the one to bring you out. And oh my, that's what they did to people. Put them in pits. And I do know this. You'll know it when when you're sitting in that pit. I tell you what, oh my, great, great dirtiness, filthiness. But look what else happens to them. So there's this horrible condition. That's what sin is. It's like being in a pit and you can't get out. But look what else he said in verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. You know when this man started crying to the Lord? When he's in the pit. When he's in trouble. Men ain't going to cry unto the Lord. A soul ain't going to cry unto the Lord for salvation till he knows he's in trouble. He got to be in trouble. You got to be in trouble. You can't get out of that pit by yourself. And he said, I waited. What is he waiting on? He's waiting on patiently on the Lord. I said, let God, preachers today make God to be their errand boy. They can tell God to do this, God to do that, and God has to do this, God has to do that other thing. God don't have to do anything but be God. And here he is, you know, he waited on the Lord. I'm in this pit and I can't get out of this pit. I'm like Jonah who is in the belly of hell and I can't get out. I can't get out. And he knows, and he can't cry. He waits patiently on the Lord. He's not his unbearer. He ain't going to jump up and run after us the first time we do it. Then he said, he inclined unto me. He listened down in that pit when I was crying. Down in that pit. What? It's like when Bartimaeus cried, Lord, have mercy on me. Shut up, Jeremiah. Lord, have mercy on me. Shut up, Jeremiah. I mean, Bartimaeus, shut up. Shut up, blind, but shut up. He said, they told him shut up, and he just cried the more. And that's the way it is. When you start crying out like this man did, waiting on the Lord, God, salvation's of you. I can't get out of this pit. I can't get out of this sin. I can't do nothing. Lord, have mercy. And he stuck his head down there. What? What did you say? Are you hollering for mercy? You hollering for grace? You hollering to be saved? You crying out to be saved? You mean you're down in that pit and you can't get out? Oh my. He inclined unto me. Oh, bless his holy name. And then look what it said. And he heard my cry. Oh, he heard my cry. Oh, you know, you want to get his attention. You start crying out to him. Oh my. And I tell you something, here's something that happened to this fellow here. He didn't need to be taught to, how to pray to call on the Lord. Somebody didn't have to teach him to pray. He knew from his heart that there ain't no place I can go but to Him. No place I can go but to Him. It's like that Syrophoenician woman. You know, she brought her daughter to the Lord. And she said, Lord, my daughter's sick, grievously vexed. He ignored her. I'm not sick but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He ignored her. She just kept on. And those disciples said, Lord, send her away. She's bothered us. And our Lord said, it's not fit to take the children's bread and feed them unto dogs. She took her place, and the Lord met her. She said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. You know what He said about her? So be it unto thee. Great is your faith. She was refused. She said, I'm not going to stop till He gives me what I want. And that's what this fellow's doing. He cried, and the Lord heard me. You know why we cry unto the Lord? Why we crawl on the Lord? Why we seek the Lord? Because we know He hears us. He hears us. When we don't even know what to say except groan, cry. Don't know how to put words in our before Him. But He hears that. He hears that groan. He hears that cry. Oh my. You know, you mothers that have babies and have children, when they start crying, when they're little fellas, they start crying. What you crying about? What's the matter? Tell me what's the matter. Well, that's the way God is. Tell Him what's the matter. Then look what happens. He heard His cries in this horrible pit. Then look what happens now. In verse 2, He brought me up out of a horrible pit. Out of the miry clay. Now I want you to notice what it says. He heard my cry. Then He brought me up. He didn't go, now listen, here's a ladder. I'm going to put a ladder down in here. And you come out, you know, if you got enough strength and got enough ability left in you, crawl out, climb one rung at a time and get out of there. Didn't do that. He didn't throw a rope down there and say, get a hold of this rope and I'll pull you out. The Scripture said, He brought me out. That's what salvation of the Lord is. He brings us out. And when He brings us out, you know what He does? He brings us to Himself. And He brought her out, brought Him out. Oh my. He brought me up. No wonder David said, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and cause to approach unto thee. Oh my. Jonah cried from the belly of hell. And you know what? The average preacher today, if they was preaching on Jonah, what they'd say is that Jonah, God got that fish, that whale up there close to the shore, spit him out about 50, 60 yards from shore. Now, you swim the rest of the way, and then when you get on solid ground, walk on out of here. No. When God brought him up out of the well, that fish's belly, that whale's belly, you know where God put him? Put him on ground. That thing went right up there and spit him out on solid ground. That's what God does for us. When he brought him out. And I tell you, that's the only one that can do anything for us. He's the only one who can. He saved him. He saved this man. This man couldn't do it for himself. He had no ability to do it for himself. But oh my, that's what our Lord said. And Billy R. preached it here while he is here. No man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. That's the only way you can come. You got to draw him. He brought this man out of this horrible pit. And he says, as it is written, they shall all be taught of God. God's teaching this man here. Put him in this horrible pit. Brought him up out of that horrible pit. Didn't put a ladder down there and say, do the best you can. And he's out of a horrible pit. It wasn't just a pit. It was a horrible pit. I remember being in that horrible pit. I remember it very well. I remember before God, back when I was in my early 20s, I was almost embarrassed to call on Him because I felt I was so filthy. I felt like a dog. I mean, I felt like an old mangy dog tied to a bumper somewhere or something. I felt so filthy and so stinking and so rotten. And all I could say, Lord, I have no right. But would You have mercy on me? That's all I could do. Couldn't say anything else. I was like this fella. He's in that horrible pit. I was in a horrible pit, and you was too. And not only that, but you're in that miry clay. You can't get your feet even out of the clay. But He brought me out. You say, Lord, don't force Yourself on anybody. If He didn't go where this fellow was and get him hold of him and bring him out, he would have never got out of there. And that's the way it is. He got to go where you are. Because you ain't come where he's at till he comes where you are. And he got to be the one to bring you out. Ain't that right? Oh, my. Well, look what else he done for him. Not only did he bring him up out of a horrible pit, and out of that miry, miry, miry clay that you couldn't get your feet out of. And look what he did. Them feet that once was in those miry clays, after he brought him out, he set his feet on a rock. From miry clay to a rock. From not being able to get out to sitting on something solid. Something got some substance to it. Something's real. And he set my feet on a rock. And oh, what kind of rock you reckon it was? Wonder what rock it was. I'll hide you in this rock over here, the cleft of this rock. Smite that rock, there's going to be water coming out of it. That rock was Christ. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Rock of ages cleft from thee. Let me hide myself in thee. He set my feet on a rock. Right out of the miry clay, he brings us out and sets us down. And he sets us on a rock. On a rock. And oh my. Oh my. And then look what he says. No more miry clay. And then he established my goings. But he set us on the solid rock. Listen to me now. He set our feet on the solid rock of God's grace in Christ. He set us on the solid rock of sovereign free grace. Set us on the solid rock of the truth. Set us on the solid rock of justification, and Christ being at righteousness and everything that God, He taught us when He set us on that rock. He actually brought us up and taught us. He set us on the rock of God who changes not. Oh my. And I'll tell you, He set us on that rock that God's sovereign salvation of a truth that never changes. Truth don't change. Men change, truth don't change. But God don't, His truth don't change. He set us on that rock that He said that truth will never change. Never change. Oh my. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. You say, well, what if they go back? Go back off that rock and get down in that horrible pit? Go back in that miry clay? Don't people believe that? Who wants to get off a rock? Go right back where you started. That ain't in good sense. Huh? No. There's no way. Go from a rock back down to the horrible pit in the miry clay. No, look what it says. And not only set my feet on a rock, but he established my goings. Where are you going? You're going that way. Everything we was doing before that was going wrong. When he brought us out of the horrible pit, he said, this is the way to go. I'm going to establish your goings. I'm going to establish your goings in the truth. I'm going to establish your goings in the scriptures. I'm going to establish you in the truth about yourself. I'm going to establish you in the truth about grace. I'm going to establish you in the truth of salvation of the Lord. I'm going to establish you in the truth. I'm going to establish your goings for you. You ain't gonna be one of them fellas. I'm out for a while. I'm in for a while. I love Jesus for a month, and then I'm back out in the world for 2 months. No. He establishes our going. And once they're established, yeah, I mean, but listen, there ain't nobody gonna move you. Oh, ain't nobody gonna move you. The only way in the world a sheep's gonna ever leave this world is when God takes him home. They ain't gonna never walk away from the gospel. Ain't gonna do it. Oh my. He established our goings. Oh my. We're not double minded. We're not working our way to the Lord. Oh, all our goings was wrong before. Now they're right. They're right. Kind of like that Gadarene maniac. He was, our Lord confronted him and he said, "Who are you?" My name's Legion. I got a legion of demons in me. Our Lord cast them all out. Next thing you know, that fellow's sitting there clothed, been naked for years, clothed in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And our Lord got up instead of walking away. And you know what Scripture said? He followed him in the way. That's how I established our going. Follow him. Follow him. Wherever Christ's at, that's where I'm going to go. Wherever he's walking, that's where I want to walk. Whatever he's teaching, that's what I want to learn. Huh? Oh, my. And then look what else he done after that. It's about time for us to be happy and be joyful. Look what he says next. They put a new song in my mouth. New life needs a new song. When you have a new heart, you got to have a new song. When you got a new tongue, you got to have a new song. And look what he says. What is the song he puts in our mouth? Praise unto God. Before, we never thought of God, never praised God. But boy, when he brought us out of that miry clay, he said, "Praise to God be the glory. Great things he hath done." Oh my, put a new song in our mouth. Even praise unto our God. You know, a life of faith brings a new tune. And you know what that new tune is? Psalmist David said it this way. They say, "We're now as thy God. Our God is in the heavens. He does whatsoever he pleases. And not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name be glory for thy mercy and thy truth's sake." That's that new song he put in our mouth. God gets all the glory. God gets all the praise. God gets all the honor. And that's what he's saying here. Before, we didn't praise God. Now, we can't praise him enough. Now, we can't thank him enough. Huh? Oh, listen. New tune that we're singing. New tune, new life. New tune we're singing. You know, over in Romans chapter 3, it said, "Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness." And that word cursing and bitterness don't mean you're using foul language. That means you're cursing your life. You're full of bitterness. You're not happy with the life you got. Boy, when God brings you out of that horrible pit, it's a new song. What are we going to say? "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, that has redeemed us unto God by His blood out of every kindred, tongue, and nation on the face of this earth." He done it. He done it. And oh my, it's a song of praise. And I tell you what, he only puts this song in the mouth of those whose feet he set on the rock. If you're not on the rock, you ain't got nothing to sing about. If you're still in that horrible pit, you ain't got nothing to sing about. He's the only one who put that song in your mouth. I read a story the other day. I'll see if I can remember. About this fellow that just went around humming all the time. Got out of bed and he started humming. And kind of under his breath, singing a hymn all the time. Everywhere he went, he was singing, you know, singing that little old hymn. And Spurgeon was telling about it and said, this fellow, you know, he'd go through town and he'd just be humming a hymn, making a hymn, you know, murmuring a hymn under his breath, and folks would be listening to him. He didn't pay any attention to anybody around him. He said, that's what you call making melody in your heart to the Lord. We go around and say, "They put that new song in his mouth." You know, we do that sometimes. You know, a hymn gets on our mind, and it just goes on and on and on. You can't get it out. Don't try to get it out. Just take that and go on to another one. But, oh my, he only puts that song on those feet he set upon a rock. Set on a rock. Then look what it says here in verse 3. And many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. When you start praising God and giving God all the glory, and you attribute your salvation entirely to the Lord, salvation's of the Lord, you start doing that, and you start singing that new song about Christ, you start giving all God all the glory and all the praise, after a while, folks are going to say, something's happened to that fella. You know, and then you get an opportunity to tell them that salvation's of the Lord. And oh, many will see it. Many will see it. And look what he says. And they're going to trust the Lord. I'm going to trust the Lord. Huh? Oh, my. See, God did something for you. And that's what he does. And it's obvious that God did something for you. And these people brought him out. It's obvious the Lord did it because you pray him. Praise him. And look what he says. And fear, a reverence for God, a fear of dishonoring Him and shaming Him, and oh my, and trust the Lord. And we know when that happens, the Lord tells us that when He makes them fruitful, happy, joyful, consistent in their testimony of salvation, being by grace and salvation of the Lord. And then He's going to be satisfied. Let me give you this last thing. Going to be satisfied. Look in verse 4 and 5. Blessed is the man that makes the Lord his trust. Oh, how blessed we are that the Lord is our trust. That the Lord is our trust. What does that mean? If you know everybody's got something they trust in, well, we make the Lord our trust. Our trust. And oh, look what he goes on to say. And he said, he respects not the proud. We don't respect the proud. And we don't turn aside the lies. Somebody lying, we turn away from them. Turn away from them. And then look what happens. You're talking about satisfied. Satisfied. And that's where we started out. Many, O Lord, my God, of thy wonderful works. You know what the first wonderful work was? Brought it out of that horrible pit. Heard our cry. Put a new song. Established our going. Set us on a rock. And that's just the beginning of it. And oh, you've done it. And that's what he said. You've done it. You've done these works. And your thoughts to usward. And all the things that you've done for us and thought about us and done for us over our whole lives and up till the time we go to be with you, you can't reckon them up in order. You're going to start, you know, you can go from A to Z in alphabet. You can go from one to billions. But how in the world can you tell the goodness of God and the works of God and the things that God's done for you? Where are you going to start? You'd have to start before you was born. That's the first place you'd have to start. You'd have to start before you was born. Because that's when God first had him. You're going to have to start before you was born. Then you start way back under. And then you come up into time. And then all the things He's done for us over the years. Oh my. He does many works for us every moment of every day. So many that we can't number them. We don't even know where to start. And the man that has the Lord, who he trusts, I tell you something, he's a satisfied man. He's satisfied with God. He's satisfied with salvation. He's satisfied with grace. Satisfied with Christ. He's satisfied with what the Lord did. Satisfied. He's satisfied where God put him, what God's doing for him. He really is satisfied. Father, thank you. Thank you for your precious word. Oh, what a blessed word. Lord, you brought us up. You brought us up. You set us on the rock. You established our goings. Lord, you had us on your heart. You had us in your will. You had us in your purpose. Centuries upon centuries upon centuries and millennia before we ever existed. Before you ever put a tree in the Garden of Eden. Before you ever put Adam there. You had a Savior for sinners like us. And Lord, You brought us up out of a horrible pit. Oh, thank You. Oh, blessed be Your name. Thank You for this great, glorious, blessed salvation. And Lord, we can't thank You enough, praise You enough, and we don't know where to start except back in eternity where You did. And we bless You and praise You for it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I mentioned to you that I'm going to start going through Romans probably in the next 2 or 3 weeks. So, you know, kind of read through it and familiarize yourself with it, and that way you'll be able to kind of follow along. And Lord willing, I'll see you Sunday.